Hi, everybody. Welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer. Joining me today is Josh. Josh, thanks for joining me.
Hey, John. Great to be here.
Josh, let's jump into our topic today. Now, this is only 15 minutes. We got to get the most out of the topic and as many questions in as possible. And the topic that you chose today is managing generative AI APIs. What is it? What is it about?
It's about choosing the right capacity type. If you're using a third-party LLM, you're going to have a choice between sharing capacity with other customers and consistent performance, or you could buy dedicated capacity and have it consistent performance. But there is definitely cost benefits between either one. That's going to be a lot of the questions.
All right, well, let's dive in there and talk about it. Now, first, explain to everybody who's not familiar with generative AI and LLM.
So LLM is your ChatGPT that was built on a large language model. At Grammarly, we have our own internal large language models. And then during the Gen AI boom, we decided using, for very limited use cases, a third-party LLM. And in this case, instead of hosting it on your own infrastructure, you're actually hitting a API at, say, Google or Azure OpenAI or OpenAI Direct. So you don't have to manage any of the infrastructure in that case.
All right. Well, let's talk about it a little bit more. And why would you choose one or the other? And how does that relate to FinOps?
Whether the type of LLM you're going to choose, I would say the APIs are more turnkey. You can just start hitting it and you're going to start getting outputs, and it's more so prompt engineering. So trying to figure out how to get it to give the outputs you want it to give with your service. So, again, you're not having to set up infrastructure. You don't have to hire ML engineers or, specialized people to necessarily build the infrastructure to do that. In the other case where you're using, self-hosted LLMs or building your own, especially there's very high level of expertise needed to do that. You're also paying for the infrastructure, and it takes longer to do. So if you're looking to be quicker to market, you're going to be using the LLM APIs, longer term, maybe building your own. How it relates to FinOps is, especially with the LLM APIs and provision capacity, is this adds another scope to the FinOps practitioner like workload. It's and that was my experience where I was helping with AWS costs, and then it moved to me actually adding to my scope managing this LLM capacity, which is very different dynamics on the surface, at least, than what a traditional cloud resource is like.
So Josh, if you want speed and utilization to Gen AI for your company, using a hosted capacity or hosted LLM is probably the best solution for you. But if you want to own all the data internally, then having your own LLM is probably the way to go, right?
Correct. Your own LLM or one that maybe you grab an open source LLM and you'd fine tune it and train it. You have more control of the outputs, but it does just take longer. But yeah, if you're looking for to be faster, the LLM APIs or the third party closed LLMs, help you get to market faster and have a product.
Now, you were talking about having your own infrastructure. So if you're hosting it, that means you have your own infrastructure. You're using your own resources. If you're using cloud of any type, then you're using the capacity within cloud and you're paying for the resources within cloud. But if you're using maybe a shared or somebody else's, you're only paying for maybe the requests that are happening?
Exactly. Token consumption. Tokens is probably a new kind of buzzword, especially in AI now, but that is essentially how the inputs that are going into these LLMs, the number of resources necessary to process these inputs and process the outputs, those are broken up into tokens. So with a lot of these, you may pay a fraction of a penny per token or per 1,000 tokens to hit that API.
Josh, talking about that a little bit further and utilizing these tokens to pull these requests that are happening, at what point as an engineer or a prompt engineer, let's just call that because I believe that's one of the terms coming out, is that you have to ask it specific questions. If it's not your own data, you're not paying for it, like you have your own hosted stuff and you know that it's expensive to do it, so you're going to be very prescriptive on the questions or the prompt. If it's somebody else's hosted thing and you're asking a bunch of questions to it, Do you feel that you're going to ask more on a shared infrastructure rather than your own internal, and the cost might kind of equate itself?
Not necessarily. I mean, you're paying for this. It's a managed service, right? And a lot of managed services, you're paying premium for that vendor to manage it for you. So as far as the prompting and such, I would say it's the controlling the output is different. It's very different when you're managing and hosting your LLM. You can, you know, as far as retraining that LLM or fine tuning it, you can get a lot more detail where it's changing weights and or the data that it's being trained on. There's a lot more detail you can go into that. However, there's some fine tuning you can do with a third party LLM, but it's a lot more limited than, you know, what you can do with a hosted. So as far as like costs on each side, definitely long term, hosting your own LLM is going to be much cheaper than using the third party LLM. Third party LLM APIs. And long term, I would say, especially over a year. But I would say hosting your own, you know, if you don't already have the resources or you don't already, you know, get good savings plan coverage or unsure of what that usage is going to be over the next 3 to 6 months, and there's probably going to be a lot higher upfront costs, but it pays better dividends over the long haul compared to the third-party LLMs.
And I think you actually touched on it a little bit as talking about third-party LLMs is that you can only fine-tune the data so much. But when you host it, you can actually tweak the data so much in order to train it even more in depth and get a better response or higher quality answer. I had a call the other day, we were talking about it, and you're basically, if you're doing a third party and you can't do so much with the data, you're not asking it the right questions, you're paying for a non-answer within a way, and where you own it, you can get very detailed, train it down to the data so prescriptive that you can get a very correct answer or a valued answer.
Exactly. And I would say another kind of negative with the third party piece is you have zero insight into the infra itself. So yep. if there's a problem, if the cluster on their side is unhealthy, which we haven't seen this happen in a long time, but it still could happen. But if something's unhealthy on the vendor side, it's you really don't know until you have to do all the research on your side to make sure nothing's wrong on your side, and then you know, check with the vendor. So you lose some insight into that cluster itself and managing the health of it.
Well, Justin, actually, now you're touching on the support of third party versus your internal support to figure and troubleshoot some things out. Josh, I'm going to jump to our next question, and let's talk about the shared versus provision capacity. What are some of the considerations that you should take into effect?
The top one is performance. So whatever application is going to be using this is latency very important. Low latency, super important. If you don't want any of your users experiencing inconsistent latency or high latency, we're talking 5 seconds or more in some cases, then maybe dedicated capacity is the better option in that case. Well, it definitely would be. You're going to have, because you have these clusters dedicated to you and you only, you're going to have low consistent latency up until a certain throughput level, which is usually measured in tokens per minute, for example. With shared capacity, as you get into the peak times a day, you're probably going to see higher latency, or there may be even times it's not available. So the availability may not be necessarily guaranteed either. Whereas at least with dedicated capacity, up to a certain amount of tokens per minute, you have, you know, this available guaranteed and at a consistent low latency.
When you say dedicated capacity and tokens for it, you're still speaking on like third party, right? Because you're utilizing a token for it, or would you be using a token for internal communication?
I mean, it's still a measurement. Tokens is definitely a measurement internally, but we have other metrics, like we can actually see the resources and requests per second and all this. We can see that, I guess, requests on the third party side too. But there's just a lot more other metrics we can use. And I know we do use tokens on the hosted LLMs, but because tokens is literally how they charge you for the third parties, I would say it's probably more vital for that side. And also that's how they measure resource utilization. So third party is even more vital because that's the dimensions that they measure everything on.
When you were talking about resources not being used because on shared capacity, if everybody remembers like ChatGPT, when it came out and you tried logging in or using it, the servers were busy or they were provisioning more resources. They couldn't get up to speed enough. They couldn't have enough resources to use. that would be an example of shared capacity, right, for everybody, and during those peak times too.
Oh, exactly. Same thing with an EC2 instance. Good luck trying to spin up a P4D instance in AWS right now on demand. This is not available because it's NVIDIA chips that are in short supply, right? But that's just an example. That's an on-demand service that you can't always spin up all the instances that you want, depending on what you're asking for. It's similar, use case here with this. These third-party LLMs are still based on GPUs. So there's only an infinite, a finite amount. And when you're using shared capacity, there's that risk of it not being there. I would say that's pretty low risk overall, depending on the vendor. Your higher risk is you're just going to see a lot higher latency. You're going to get into put you into a queue and of all these other requests, and that's why your latency is getting increased.
Isn't there a certain acceptable amount of latency whenever you're using shared or provisioned capacity? Like, and when you say 5 seconds, I imagine me going to ChatGPT and typing a command and it takes 5 seconds and I'm off doing something else and come back. Is that acceptable?
Depending on what you're using it for. I would say Grammarly, we want our customers to have pretty low latency. I would say high latency is not a tolerable amount. You should have a threshold amount in mind. But I would say, anything under 2 seconds should be okay. When you start getting around 2 seconds or more, that's starting to be a little concerning. But it just depends on the service. We have other services that, the higher latency is fine. Maybe you have a service that's not live streaming. It's more of a background operator. So you can tolerate higher latency with those, but then there's a service that, you want the user, when they hit that prompt or prompted, you want them to have an answer as quick as possible. And also, most of our suggestions are, again, powered by our own hosted infrastructure, and latency is very low with those. So we want a consistent experience. So latency for us is very important, but maybe other customers are using these for internal use cases. It's not even going out to their customers, so they'll have a higher tolerance for latency. So like most things in technology, it depends.
Josh, I've got to ask the most important question here, being that this is a FinOps podcast. What does all this have to do with FinOps? How does it relate for your generative AI API calls, analyzing and utilizing tokens around your cost optimization?
It costs a lot of money. And
well, that just answers the question right there.
if it's not managed effectively, then it's really easy to spend too much money. And also, I would say, especially on the third-party side or provision capacity side, not only is it important from a cost standpoint, but if you don't have enough capacity, then your users are impacted. The business is impacted. Managing this capacity with that balance of engineering and finance, kind of mentality is very important to make sure you're getting the most out of what you buy.
Josh, what I'm hearing from a number of people is with generative AI and their utilization, everybody's going to it right now. They want to jump into Gen AI as fast as possible. It has the same feeling as everybody wanting to jump into cloud as fast as possible. And that's really where cloud financial management came from, FinOps came from. Do you think we're moving so fast into generative AI that we're not understanding the cost implications into the business? And that's where FinOps is going to bring everything together?
Of course, yes. I would say a big difference is, and actually I had a conversation with a colleague about this, not just this week, but a big difference I would say is cloud people are a bit more hesitant to make that move. Whereas with Gen AI, there's a lot less hesitancy. So things are moving faster. There's a lot more money early on getting thrown at this. And I think for right now, maybe they don't mind that extra money being thrown at it just to be ahead of the curve of the innovation curve. But over the next few years, that number is going to become more and more important as it grows. So, that's a very good analogy, I would say. But it's changing faster, from my experience, with Gen AI than anything else. We saw tremendous changes from when we started using this provision capacity at this third party. Within less than a year, we saw just tremendous performance differences and new metrics and features over that time frame than I've experienced with other services. So I think it's going to slow down some over the next few years as far as, you know, how this capacity works and these types of things. I mean, new models are always going to come out, but it's still going to be just rapidly changing, more so than what we've seen before.
Josh, what advice do you have to those looking to use generative AIs with regards to not only the APIs, but being aware of your token and the cost that's kind of associated with it?
Load test. Make sure you have a good relationship with your ML infra team, ML engineering team, and there's good understanding and alignment around how to load test endpoints. Have a clear understanding. You know, some vendors, load testing is not required. Some vendors, it's a hard limit of input and output tokens. Understanding what vendor does that versus maybe having to load test for other vendors. And then also understanding what triggers the 429 error, or what triggers an error saying you don't have enough capacity. Is it due to latency, or is it actually due to resource utilization? So those are all little things you want to make sure you completely understand before you really hop into using some of these.
All right. Well, Josh, I got to wrap up this podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right. It's great being here, John. Thanks.
Everybody, this is Burley talking about managing your generative AI APIs and talking about the costs associated with it and being aware of the token or the requests that are happening. Everybody, this has been the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and notify, because guess what? We're out of here.